Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Since my beginning of becoming Lutheran, there's one word that I heard over and over that used to just mean to me pretty much a phone call. And that word is call or called, and it's said in so many ways. And I really never knew what power that one word would have. It is a call process, a letter of call, call to ministry of word and service, call to ministry of word and sacrament, called by a congregation, called by the synod as a deacon, and the list can go on and on. Oh, and transfer of call. And most popular, a call committee. Don't want to forget those two. And I'm sure that I've left some out, like I said, but I think I'm pretty safe to say that that word has been buzzing around here at St. Stephen's lately. And you are coming up with and coming into the call process. Now, Pastor Emily was called here to be the light of God and to be the witness of God's love, peace, and mercy. Most of all, God's grace. She heard her call and she responded to God's plan. Now, none of us could know how brilliant her light would shine and what she would bring to this church and what she brought to my life. I met her as my teacher in diaconia. And Dan, too, has a call to a new vocation. He heard God's call, and he responded. And together they will be the voice of God, the light of Christ, in whatever way God needs them to be. And we all know for sure they will be just that, because we had the gift of experiencing them as they share their gifts with all of us. Now, that being said, we all miss them very much. And if we had our way, and I'm pretty sure I could speak for all of us, we would want to keep them all to ourselves forever, especially beautiful little Felix, which I gave him his last New York haircut on Thursday. And he was so good. And in a few weeks, you're going to hear the reading of the Transfiguration, and that's just what Peter wanted to do. He wanted to build a tent for Moses and Elijah, himself and the other disciples, and stay on that mountaintop and keep them all to themselves. Now, who wouldn't want that? But that's not how God works. We are all called at different times in different situations, and by our rite of baptism, we must follow and respond. And sometimes calls are crystal clear, and we're very aware of them. We need time to discern them. We pray. We talk to other people, go to spiritual directors. We weigh everything. And that's really great when we can do it that way. But often we are called to witness and to take action in a flash without even thinking, is this truly from God? And what does God want me to say? Now, this recently happened to Rabbi Chaim Rotenberg. This is the rabbi whose home was invaded and attacked during the Hanukkah party in Muncie. And in that moment, he was celebrating with his congregation at home, and in the very next moment, he was standing in front of microphones, TV cameras, and this is the profound statement that he had to say. He had to testify in that moment. He says, and these are his words, I will never forget that night, and despite all the horror, we held strong and tall in our faith and in the Almighty, knowing that we are all made in the image of God. We continue to celebrate Hanukkah, the miracle of light, and he went on to say, this is what really caught my ear, that love is the light of God, and God wants us to bring that love into the world and not hate. How amazing was this man to hear what God had to say instead of negative, horrible things. He brought us together in unity in that word, in his words. Now, his life was changed in a flash, as was the victim's. And I have to tell you, all of ours. I live right next door to my parsonage is right next door to the church. We have many congregational parties at our home, in our backyard. We have a playground for our nursery school that I see all the time. And it made me think that can happen to any of us. And hope and pray that it doesn't, but hope that the message of God's love is what always comes through. Now, one of the victims, the woman who owned the deli, she did the same thing. Her husband did the same thing, Moshe Frenzies. He didn't go out and yell and be hateful. He did follow God's call, and he preached to us to love and to move forward without hate. This man just lost his wife, his workers, a customer, his business. But yet, the first thing he said on the mic was to love. I was truly amazed by him. And then again, last Thursday, a very diverse group of high school teenagers from all ethnic backgrounds and all different faith traditions came forward in a march with signs that said, love, not hate, as they marched to the Jewish Children's Museum in Brooklyn to be educated on our brothers and sisters that are Jewish. And we were called in unity by these people. We need to follow. And God called all of them, and they all responded. Now, our readings today all correspond with each other. And for preaching purposes, that's pretty good, because you have a lot of material with a lot of messages. However, it's always hard to narrow down what you really think God is calling me to preach today. So when I did do that, it was all about being called. We are called to bear witness of the love and light of God and new beginnings, new starts. Being called is very clear in many ways. In the reading, some are even called by name. Some in the readings are even given a new name, and that's always in the Bible, in the Gospels, symbolic of new starts, like Paul, Saul to Paul. And this first in the first reading, it states, the Lord called me before I was born. Now, this is not a distant God. This is a God who calls you right there in your mother's womb. That's one of my favorite psalms. He knows you in your mother's womb. He's calling you from the first moment of life. He knows us right from the start. And the first reading goes on to say, you, my servant Israel, in whom I glorified, I will give you all nations, not some nations, all nations. There's the unity. Israel, the servant, is bringing the good news of God's love, victory over darkness, the light of God in the world, and not to some, but all. Just as Rabbi Rotenberg said, we are all created in the image of God. All are to love and never to give in to hate. And then our psalm says, the Lord has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise. Again, we are being called to change, to new beginnings, to stand witness in the awestruck wonder of God's love. Then our second reading, it continues to ribbon through. We are here, we read again, called. Paul is called to be an apostle by Christ, by the will of God. Paul is responding to God's will. Paul is not only given a new name, he is given a title, apostle. The followers are even given a name. All the followers of Christ at that time were called saints. Paul goes on to thank the people of Corinth for their testimony of Christ to others and for strengthening the church that was lacking spiritual gifts. That's what we're called to do. And that reading ends up being called to fellowship, the fellowship of Christ. At our baptisms, we are called by name to witness among the people and to testify, to make known and reveal Christ in the world. And isn't that why we're all here today? Isn't that our reason? To keep that relationship with God alive and to bring out into the world? And it was for that same reason that John the Baptist stood in that river. And I'd like to just reiterate this because I was in one of my classes. John the Baptist was not Baptist. He was the baptizer. That was his mission. So we didn't have Baptist or Catholic or Lutheran at that point, but he is the baptizer. And he was called to reveal Jesus Christ, who has been identified by many names. And in this passage, he is called the Lamb of God, the Word made flesh, Christ incarnate. And there are so many different ways that we identify Christ, Son of God, the Anointed One, God's only Son, our Lord, and finally, who he is, the Messiah. In our gospel today, John is revealing Christ to all. John is the human witness that was sent to God, from God. And I'd like to give you a little overview of this reading. On the first day, it was over a four-day period. So on the first day, Jesus doesn't even speak. This is the only place in the gospel where Jesus does not speak. He leaves that all up to John, the one that God has called to testify. And John is witnessing in a very profound way that Jesus is Messiah. Here is Jesus now standing in the river for all to see in flesh and blood. And the faithful are no longer waiting for the one that the scriptures of Old Testament speak of. He is right there in front of them, the Word made flesh. Now, this is the second Sunday after the Epiphany, the birth of Christ. I'm here to say the Epiphany is not over. It never is. So I'm going to look at the definition of the word Epiphany. It's a Greek word, epiphanies. It's an experience of sudden, striking realization. And they are relatively rare occurrences. And they bring enlightenment, illumination, realization, and discovery. And also resulting a feeling of elation, wonder, and awe. Now, these do still happen. It's your aha moment. Oprah has renamed them. But they do happen. The thing is, do we share them? And this is what's happening in today's gospel. They are all a part of an amazing epiphany. Once you know the power and the depth of God's love, forgiveness, healing, and how to surrender to God, you are and have become an enlightened person of faith. So what do we do with that? We are expected to respond. And I include myself in this. But do we? Do we make excuses? Do we find someone else will do it? Or they'll think I'm a holy roller if I say Jesus. We think these things sometimes. Am I in the proper setting? We don't speak about politics or religion. That's not what God wants. God expects us to speak of him. And like I said to the kids, it may not be in his name, but it may be in how we act towards each other. And so do we bear witness? In today's Gospels, questions are asked and answers are given nearing the end of the 4 days. That's when Jesus starts to speak. Jesus is asked, Rabbi, where are you? And he answers, come and see. So here's some questions for us. We don't have to know all of the answers right now, but I'd like you to think about this during the week. Do we invite others to hear the word of God, the word made flesh? Do we invite them to our church? Do we email them a good sermon? You know, I do that sometimes. David will do a really powerful sermon, and I know there's someone that may not be ready to step their foot in the door, but I'll send the sermon. It's up to them to open it. They usually do. But that's one of the practices that I do. Do we say come and see by the small miracles that happen in our lives? My brothers and sisters, there are no coincidences. Everything that is good, that is in your life, comes from God. It would be so awesome if you can give him the credit. Give God the credit when you're speaking to others about the goodness that God has given you in your life. We need to recognize and we need to testify. And we need to be the light in the darkness. So if maybe you hear a conversation that's a little negative or gossipy, or just not right, maybe you can just stop the conversation with something positive. I have been trying to do that practice with our children, and it worked out so well, I brought it into the church. And no one even knows I'm doing it, but I know that I'm doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have all heard the words that we are God's hands and feet. We've heard that. We wear shirts that say that, right? But we are also called to be God's voice and the light in the world. And it doesn't matter if you witness God's name and God's light in the word God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. When you choose to be in the voice in the, let me start that over. When we choose to be God's voice in the world, we are among very good company. People like Moses, Jeremiah, John the Baptizer, all of the apostles, people like our own Martin Luther, Rabbi Rottenberg, Moshe Frenzies, all were called to be the voice, the light of God. And maybe God is calling you to speak out for equality, to fight against racism, anti-Semitism, sexism. God is calling each and every one of us. It's up to us to listen and sometimes have the time to discern and sometimes not and respond. Now, Martin Luther King Jr. was called and he responded, and we celebrate his life this weekend, remembering how he shined love and the light of Christ into the world. And this is a quote from Dr. King. This is what he had to say. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate could not drive out hate. Only love can do that. My brothers and sisters, God is calling. He knows your name. You can't hide, not even in your mother's womb. And when he calls, we should answer. Now, you may not see the full picture of what God's plan is, especially here right now as you go through a transition. But God does have a plan, I promise you. And this is the final quote, and I'll end with, from Dr. King. I thought it fit where you are at, here at St. Stephen's so much. Faith is the first step you take, even when you don't see the whole staircase. Amen.